This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Volunteering Vibes. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tracy Weston from Volunteering Hawke's Bay, your local volunteer centre. In these programs, we'll be speaking to people from across the volunteering spectrum, the volunteers themselves and the organisations that serve our community. Today, we're spending time with John Newson of AREC, who provide comm support for emergency services, search and rescue and community events across Aotearoa, New Zealand. Hi, John. Thanks for coming along to talk to us today about the work that you do.
Yeah, hi, Tracy. AREC started out after the 1931 earthquake. It started in 1932. There was a need for communications, and during the earthquake, the amateur radio transmitters managed to put enough gear together that they could take over and send the messages for New Zealand Post. We turned that into a formal organisation the year after, 1932. So it's actually quite a long standing thing we've been running.
It is.
Then it evolved over a period of time with different names and stuff, but finally it's Amateur Radio Emergency Communications, and we're the service branch for the New Zealand Amateur Radio Transmitters, which is NZART. So people who are interested in getting involved and doing what we do sign on to AREC as radio transmitters and come and help us do what we do. We are involved with civil defence, search and rescue is a big one for us. We've been doing that for a long time. We also do events. We used to do the Kaweke Challenge. Well, that was running for 21 years. And we also do the Hawke's Bay car rallies when they run.
Right.
Unfortunately, we haven't done that for a couple of years due to roads not being available through the cyclone, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a hoot. Well, I really enjoy doing it. It's been a hoot for me. We get out and do things that most people wouldn't do. On the Kaweke Challenge, I was having to carry a pack full of radios and food, all my clothing, antennas, hooked them in up to a place called McIntosh Hut, which meant going through a 1,200-metre hole in the ground.
So, quite physical, then.
So I was I had to train for that, and since they stopped, my I haven't trained as much, and my body shows the results of that. we've got a really diverse organisation going on. It's really good because we've got guys from, we've got Czechs, we've got Germans, we've got Chinese, there's a Chinese lady, you name it, we've got it. And the age range runs normally, you can actually start at 18, and the oldest person I've got in my group at the moment is 84. So that also means that we've got a diverse range of things that we do. Each person can do different things. So some people chuck the pack on the back and head off out into the field and put up remote radios and antennas and stuff for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other end of the scale is people who will sit at home and work on the radio and communicate with the people that we're working with. So it's a really, and in between that, there's different scales, of course. We have a radio room in at civil defence, and for search and rescue, we go to a Hastings, go to a local place and set up there. We do a lot. What we actually do is we all go into an organisation or into search and rescue, whatever, and provide the communication. We'll sit there in front of the radio, write all the messages down so that everything is recorded verbatim. With search and rescue, it can become a coronial court exercise, so everything has to be recorded exactly as how it's sent, and there can't be any mistakes. So it's quite a very important that we do that correctly, and then that information is then passed on to the people who will use it, and then they all come back to us and with a question or whatever that we send back to the groups. So it can be a little bit long-winded, but it's very, very efficient as far as recording everything that goes on.
I can understand that would be incredibly important.
Yeah, yeah. We actually write everything down, but we also type it in as a message as well on a new messaging system we've had running for about 3 or 4 years, there's a new program called Star Trek, actually. So the groups go out and they have radios on them that actually send out a broadcast just saying, here I am. And if they're within range of one of our repeaters or it can be seen on the network, they'll pop up on their map showing us where they are. So we got to double check because they then send a grid reference as well that spells out exactly where they are. With civil defence, we train a lot, and when we have something happen there, it's normally big and quick and really serious and all hands on deck type thing. We do two trainings a week, month correction, and two trainings a month, but we also do radio checks every Wednesday morning for civil defence, and people can come and do that if they like. The two trainings we do one with civil defence and we do one as AREC, and we also tie onto some Landsar training as well, land search and rescue training, because we're tied in with them. We have to know how they operate so that we can understand what they're doing and write the messages down correctly.
So you've joined us from a training session this morning, haven't you? So
yeah, I was radio checks this morning. Right. Yeah, so there's about, there was 30 radios out in the community. They're now adding more onto it since Gabriel. There's a, so we're probably running about 45 radios out in the field. Some of those we only check monthly, but there's about 28 we do weekly. So they either call in. If they don't call in, we'll give them a call to make sure that they know that they should be calling in. And then we just check and make sure the communication's working fine, and then it takes about an hour to get through that. So we do it every Wednesday morning. The first Tuesday of the month, we go to civil defence and do a training there. One training is just AREC, but the next training will be a combined training with the rest of the civil defence group. So that, so their training's for 6 months, and the other 6 months we do our training. When we go out to Napier, we just do our own training. Quite often we'll do weekends as well. We also, when we're doing events and things, like we've just done, over the last fortnight, we've just done two events. There were one was a marathon, one was a brand new event called the Blackbridge Back Paddock Blitz. Oh, man, try saying that 5 times fast. And that ran 24 hours, so we had our guys out there for 24 hours, just keeping an eye on the place. That's quite a small circuit on quite a flat area, so comms-wise it wasn't much of a problem to run that. The biggest thing about it is the social thing. The guys, because most of them are also amateur radio operators, they use their radios all week and chat to each other, and there's a group and we'll go and build their own equipment and stuff like that, and have it's a real social event. We do have people who are not who do not have their radio licenses, so we just have what they call a non-transmitting membership of the New Zealand Amateur Radio Transmitters, but they're fully able to transmit on civil defence, and if a person with a license is controlling it, they can operate under them as well and make sure everything works properly.
So users are required to have a license?
No, they can come in. Today we had three new people come in. One guy had a license and two people didn't, and they're brand new. They just haven't looked, and all three of them are really keen to come on board and do what they need to. The biggest thing, of course, is the communications, because when everything, like during Gabriel, when everything went down, the radios were only things that were left running, because they'll run on batteries, car batteries or whatever. The ones we have in the community are actually in a case. And that case can be moved. It's just a matter of, and they can go from 240 volt power to 12 volt power, either through off a battery or through a cigarette lighter on the car.
Incredible.
And just move that around to wherever they need to use it best. It's all portable. The antennas are on what we call mag mounts, so they can be put anywhere on just a magnetic mount. They can put on a roof of a car or on a cabinet or whatever's metal, and that works fine. So, we train for that stuff, and as I say, not very often it happens. When it does, it's normally big time. Search and rescue is more about there's a certain school level we have to meet, and there's a search and rescue exercise once a year, and I like my guys to go through that search and rescue exercise because it's actually much more intense than what an actual search is and puts you really under pressure. So I need to be able to know they can handle the pressure, and then we'll look at bringing them in and doing search and rescue. Well, the search and rescue, we get a phone, we get a text from the police normally because they control local searches. Right. And then we have to be at a certain point within a certain amount of time setting up gear and getting ready to go to do what we need to do. So that's slightly different operating. You've got to be ready to do that at any time. So,
do you have people on standby? Do you have a sort of roster for that?
Yeah, there's about 12 of us on standby. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And all it is a text. You get a text and it says, and you reply to that text. If you're not available, you tell them you're not available so they can cross you off and they don't hassle you anymore. Mm. And if you are available, when and where. Mm. So probably 90% of the time I just stop whatever I'm doing and go and operate.
Go and do that.
Yeah, and it's normally used to be people lost in the bush all the time, but with e-perbs and things now, helicopters just fly in and pick them up.
Right.
So if we're going in, it's normally the worst weather possible because the helicopters can't fly in.
Mm.
And that, whatever. So, yeah, it's a real extreme situation if we're going in normally. We also do some local stuff. Like we went looking for a schoolboy once, and he disappeared from school and was, I won't go too much into that. But they asked us to help look for him, and so that was an urban search rather than
something quite different from
what you normally do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're quite capable of doing all that stuff. We actually train for a lot of that stuff as well.
Right.
During Gabriel, we had guys in the Civil Defence headquarters, and we also had people with search and rescue. And the search and rescue people were out doing all the checks on houses and stuff and just checking all over the place. As far as new people go, all we really want is somebody who's keen. Most people are mic shy. We work through that. That's no problem. We just put you in front of a microphone as much as we can, and you soon get to know get the knack of that. That's not a hassle at all.
So everyone involved in AREC is a volunteer, is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. There is there's probably 15 people that are paid at top level, but not at group level. Mm. Mind you, some of us put a few hours in, but that's beside the point.
And you talked before we got started today about the growth of the organisation.
It's probably over the last 6 to 8 years, we've gone from 6 members. We just signed our 20th member up today, so there's another 4 or 5 floating around. So, yeah, it is getting out there.
Mm.
And the more events and stuff we do, the better, because that's where we really get out there and do what we want to do and practice what we need to practice.
Yes.
Everything we've got through funding and stuff, it is, but some of it comes from head office, but they also have to fund as well. It's all, that's where our income comes from. We some of the events we normally charge to do an event, but it's not a huge amount of money. It just helps us.
Just cover your
costs.
Just
one little handheld radio, for example, is $1,800. So
my goodness.
And we've got we just bought 16 of those. So the money racks up in a hurry. We bought a repeater and that was like $6,000. So
oh wow.
So a repeater you can put up on top of the hill, and most of our stuff that we're using is line of sight.
Mm.
So you have to be able to see where you're transmitting to. Mm. So by putting something on a high hill, more people can see it and we can work further away from. So that's what a repeater does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you've just joined us, you're listening to a regular program presented by Volunteering Hawke's Bay, where we promote volunteers and organisations that love volunteers working with them across all parts of Hawke's Bay. Our website is vhb.org.nz. I'm Tracy Weston, and today we're talking with John of Amateur Radio Emergency Communications. So when did you first become involved with AREC, John?
They were short on people for doing a search 35 years ago. Good grief. And there was unfortunately that person has never turned up, so we're still looking for him. That was my first blooding. It was a 7-day search, and I was the second shift to go in. We normally operate for 3 days and switch out because it's after that.
Mm.
And those days especially, we were running high frequency, which is just a constant hiss all the time, and you're trying to listen for voices through that, and it gets really tiring. And 3 days of that, you're more than willing to go. Mm. Yeah, 35 years, good grief, we did all go. We've done a lot of things during that time, and the Kawaka Challenge ran for 21 years, and we were the radio operators on that as part of the safety team, and we had operators across the 42K course. Mm-hmm. My position at McIntosh Hut actually was an overnight stay, and there was another one at Makahu Hut where people could camp the night and then go out, but there were guys who just did the whole course. 42 Ks, and it was 7 kilometres climb, and one guy did it 80 hours, 26 minutes. I just couldn't believe it. It was phenomenal. But it was a warm down from the coast to coast down south, so he did a few of them. But the hard case thing for me was watching these guys, they charge around, do this whole thing, 42 Ks, get home, next thing they're up, wandering around with their kid on their shoulders and just means nothing to them. They're just normal.
Beggars belief, doesn't it, really?
Absolutely. Destroy me just doing half of it. Yeah.
So as well as your work with AREC, have you been involved in any other organisations in a volunteering capacity?
Oh, yeah, but AREC itself works with all those different organisations, but also have been working with the our Stonycroft with...
Oh, the Knowledge Bank.
Oh, the Knowledge Bank, yeah. Oh, thanks for that. 35 years and the old brain's starting to get a bit full. Yeah, Hawke's Bay Knowledge Bank. I've been there for, must be going on for 12 years now. I set up the original network, and we have about 28 computers there and server, and we also have a server in Palmerston North and in Auckland. Mm. There's two new guys just come along, and we're just taking that to the next level. I went in there knowing nothing about Linux and networking and stuff, and had to set it all up and get it all running. So, and these guys that have come in now have been doing the networking side of Linux for years, so they're really, really good. So we're really going to blast ahead. At the moment, we're running 48 terabyte servers, but we're running out of space, so we're going up to 96. But the way we're going at the moment with the new technology, we're tuning up about... 1.5 terabytes a month, so
oh my goodness.
We're really ripping into it. Yeah, it's really great.
That's awesome. You also involved in scouting?
Oh, yep. Scouting. That's taken a bit of a back burner. I just haven't had as much time, and I'm getting a bit older too, and I'm 2 generations away from the scouts now, so I'm more involved with doing training and stuff. Mm. But I spent quite a number of years as a scout leader at Heretonga Scout Group, which isn't there anymore, and... You got my wood beads, which is as high as you can go in scouting as far as training and stuff goes. And I'm still involved. This weekend we've got a, what they call a Sanford course, which is a patrol leader training course for the scouts. Mm. And I think I might be cooking on that one. I don't think I'll be doing the instructing.
What's on the menu?
I don't know yet. We'll find out.
Snags and roast baked potatoes, I remember, from my guiding days.
Oh, no, it might be a bit better than that. I think we've got pulled chicken.
Gourmet.
Yeah, and, I've been to 10 jamborees as well, so, and I was...
Overseas?
I didn't get an overseas one. No, my first one was 1969 as a scout, of course. But I've done 9 as a leader, and I've sort of stopped doing those because it's just, getting old.
Mm. So one of the things volunteers will often tell us that is that they feel like they get more out of it, more out of volunteering than they give. What do you get from volunteering?
Oh, a real sense of satisfaction and pride and the sense of helping people. It's I don't know how to explain it, but it's and teaching people and seeing how they come on, and that, especially with scouting, like you see these guys go on and succeed in life, and you can really say, well, I've had a real big part of helping them with that success. It was really good. And with this civil defence thing too, when I was really going hard out and I was sort of doing a few hours a day, and there's, you hear the messages come in, and I thought, man alive, we're going to have... a need for a big morgue. It sounded really terrible. So just being able to help with that was really important.
Of course.
So yeah.
Oh, that's an incredible story.
Yeah, and only six people passed away. I just couldn't believe it from what I was seeing.
Yeah. You didn't feel it was going to go like that.
Oh, I thought it would be like 300 or 400, to be honest.
So if you were going to talk to someone who was thinking about volunteering, how would you sell it to them? What would you say?
I'm one of those people who sort of won't chase people. They have to come to me because they have to prove that they're willing to, you know, they're committed. Otherwise, you spend all your life chasing these people and don't get anywhere. Mm. So really what I'm looking for in a volunteer is somebody who's willing to come along and just do the hard yards and get on top of it. Mm. And with what we do, it's mainly repetitious and relatively simple. But the big thing about it is a social thing where we all get together and do things. There's a real sense of achievement at the end of doing, like last weekend, for example, after 24 hours, we had guys there for 24 hours and we managed to do the whole event and had guys there for the whole time. That was pretty impressive, yeah.
It's incredible. So what's happening over the next 12 months or so for our ARSC?
We have our annual SARAX coming up in November. There'll be more events coming up. I'm not quite sure where we're at with those. Quite often they'll just pop up within like 4 weeks and we sort of rush around and get them. We're waiting for the car rally to come on board. But apart from that, we'll just keep on doing our training and be prepared and do whatever searches come up. It's been quite touching wood. It's been quite quiet as far as searches go lately.
That's a good thing. But you're still keeping training ready for when and waiting for when you're needed.
Yeah, we've got some of the best guys in the country as far as the search rescue guys go.
Wow.
They're right up the top there. Yeah.
So it's an incredible opportunity to work alongside them as well. That's amazing. So I'd like to thank you for coming in and talking to us today, John. Despite the weather, we've battled through today, and thank you for coming in. So if someone were wanting to follow up after hearing this and wanting to talk to you or another member of your team, how would they get in touch with you?
Email would be glhawkesbay@arec.nz, or my phone number is 0272303642.
So thank you for joining us today, John, as I've said, and thank you too for listening in. If you're an organisation, team or business wanting to volunteer as a group, get in touch with us. Volunteering Hawke's Bay offers a range of training and networking opportunities for its members, and membership is absolutely free. So if you're interested in finding out more about volunteering, get in touch with us, vhb.org.nz. You really can make a difference. Thanks today to Radio Hawke's Bay, who make this show possible. And you can listen to this show and the many other programs on Radio Hawke's Bay at radiohawkesbay.org.nz.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.